We may have lost her over just for a moment, but that's a long-awaited and sort of it should allow the wiki, you know, all the wiki efforts to be centralised, or your, you know, the ease of use should certainly be massively improved.
It should simplify issues a great deal.
And I was talking to talking to Tim Starling at the Sydney meetup fairly recently, and he was saying that the issues of username clashes that you mentioned are actually a lot less serious than you might think. There are lots where people have
the same. No, just the people have common names like Mark or, you know, John.
Yeah, but in most cases where they are, there's someone that the edit count test, or the, you know, someone's clearly had a much, you know, there's a lot of accounts that have only been used for sort of, you know, a handful of edits, and it seems that the policy will kind of work out if that's the case, then that username can be usurped, and for the benefit of the single user that got there first, really.
Right. The only really bad conflict I can think of is Mark Ryan user Mark on Wikipedia, and Mark Bergsma user Mark on the German Wikipedia.
So apparently they have to have a fist fight.
Many, many
that's,
years.
That's the rule. They have to have a fist fight to see who gets the name.
Well, they're the only ones who have, you know, many thousands of edits and have been here several years that I can think of who have the same name on two different wikis.
It's going to be the main ring at Wikimania in Egypt. They're going to duke it out, and we'll see who gets to be Mark. Now, of course, you could have a sideways tilt at that username Rail, but you're happy with Rail 6x4.
Mark Ryan, years ago, you know, 2003, 2004, he actually went to all the other Marks and asked if it was okay for him to change his username from Mark Ryan to Mark. I'm going to have to go by my word back then.
Cool. Well, the other one, that's single user stuff. The other one is stable revisions, which is going to be a bit longer in coming. But it sort of relates, I guess, it's of particular interest to the featured sort of the featured article status and the featured article, the very best quality articles. But
the thing about stable revisions is, it's not well defined, the specifics of it. I mean, in the most general sense, it's going to be that you have an unstable version of the page, which you have now, with the one that you can edit, the article, and then a stable version. And then it becomes a question of who determines what the stable version is, and you know, who, how you get to it. And these are all issues that kind of have not been worked out.
Well, and there's certainly, I think it's on a foundation level. I think Eric made a post, there's a link to it from the wiki page over here, but he made a post saying that it's technically now ready to implement. And I think from reading it, the German Wikipedia is quite keen to move quite quickly towards a version of it.
Well, not so much that the German wiki is keen to move to it, is that there was so much opposition on the English Wikipedia that they really couldn't start on English. They would kind of have to, you know, test, you know, debug it somewhere else.
Which makes sense. I mean,
that was more or less how it evolved as I saw it.
I guess, Phil, if you're around here, because this sort of links a little bit to, I know that you work extensively, or you've edited extensively in pseudoscience, conspiracy theories, fringe beliefs, all that sort of stuff. And obviously, who gets to decide what is stable, and who gets to decide which revision is, to a degree, I mean, I guess the theory would be that there'd be a revision of an article which would be shown to, one of the ideas I heard was that a particular revision which is marked as stable is shown to all anonymous browsers, and that revision can't be edited directly. They can obviously make a new revision and they can edit any, all they like, but the stable flag can only be moved by a new level of user, which would be like a reviewer or a stable review decider. And I think it's the procedure for determining who those people are and who would get to set those flags, which is just completely up in the air over here at English. I've chatted to a few people about it, and there's a sense of, you know, could never happen, just too much squabbling or too much dissent, too much arguing about who would get to do what. So it seems a little way off, but what do you think of that as an idea, Phil?
Well, I'm part of a couple of groups in the science area that are very, very interested in something like this, and I think if the software was available, we'd work out a system or two, we'd test them, and we'd see what worked reasonably, and try it. I think there are a lot of people very, very anxious in the science area to actually be able to set a reasonably stable version.
And how do you respond to the, how would you propose, like, who should decide what's stable? I know I'm asking off the top of your head, but what's your early thoughts on that?
We have a lot of different ideas. If you go to Raymond Aritz's page, his what we call the expert withdrawal pages, our discussion, there's a lot of different ideas on what to do. But one idea I'm sort of keen on or wonder about is an idea of a sort of a science guild. And the science guild might be anchored maybe with a few people who are willing to drop their anonymity, but have some advanced education in science and have then maybe invited other people into the guild. And we pretty much know who's got an advanced background in science or mathematics or engineering from discussing with them. So we have a pretty good idea of who's sort of a mainstream science person and who isn't. And they'd be part of the guild. And if you had a majority of, well, I don't know, 5 or 10 people or something in a guild interested in a certain page, and they said this should be our stable version, I think that would be great. That would be definitely create a certain filtering mechanism, and it would anchor us to some sort of...
Isn't that a substantial shift in culture, though, where we'd be really sort of...
We're driving ourselves crazy in the pseudoscience and science areas and conspiracies. People are extremely upset. And so it's either you get a lot of defections to Citizendium or something, or we try in a sort of an experimental way, we try some experiments and see can we improve things a little bit to make it attractive for technically adept people to stay and contribute at Wikipedia. We would like to attract them. There are a lot.
I guess to me that does represent. It's quite a big cultural shift towards.
It is a big shift.
Yeah, towards really sort of basically making credentials count. So some voices would have more authority. Derover, if you're still around, what do you think about all that stuff?
Well, I do deal a lot in disputes. I can. Probably guess a few of the places where the problems would come up, but I'd like to say what the benefits of this would be, because I think we've talked a bit more about the hang-ups. In a lot of articles, you just get this sort of drive-by vandalism, school vandalism, and so forth, and it would be a service to the vast majority of readers, as well as a service to the vast majority of volunteers, if, you know, the sort of Steve Loves Sue vandalism didn't go live to the average reader. They don't need to see it. We'd rather just clean it up without the live version of the site being compromised. And on the 99% of articles, that would be an uncontroversial thing. There are a few areas where, yes, there will be disputes, pseudoscience versus science, ethnic disputes, national disputes, religious disputes, the question of who gets that authority, maybe a very thorny one. Of course, that would just be an extension of the very deep divisions that those areas already have. So I'm not sure that that's really an argument against going forward with stable versions. It's just something that would have to be worked out and that we'd keep our eyes open and expect as it goes live.
So we're actually.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, go ahead, Phil.
I would just argue for having a sort of an experimental frame of mind, and to try some different ideas. Some might work, some might not work, and see which we thought were working well.
For me, the thorniest question is how that new power, which it undoubtedly sort of is, the new role to be able to decide what is stable and what is not, how we who we decide to roll that out to, and how we manage it, you know, to make sure it's in the best interest of the, you know, the overall encyclopedia.
I think the patently obvious solution is just to, you know, add it to what the administrators can do. I mean, we already have that position in place. We already have all of the logistics set up. It just seems to me very obvious to, you know, give it to the administrators. We already do that with full protection, semi-protection. I don't see why stable revisioning should be particularly different.
I guess, Phil, you'd go ahead.
Well, yeah, I would agree. It's not that different than some of the other things we already do. And what you could have is you could have an administrator take a poll or something, or a straw poll or whatever, on what should be the stable version. And
not a straw poll, just do it.
Or just do it.
Yeah.
Depending on the area. There are some areas, I will say, when I've noticed some administrators don't have the background. In most cases, I would say administrators do a pretty good job. There have been a few occasions I've noticed where some administrators are a little out of their depth, especially when it comes to something really technical, and they will sometimes come down in a way that's not really useful for the encyclopedia.
I'm concerned that it's not the sort of I think it's a bit of a mistake to think of administrators as really being a cohesive group. There's huge disparity, isn't there? There's huge variance in the types of expertise and people and the types of experience and the ways that various administrators choose to interact with the encyclopedia. So I'm sort of in the less convinced camp that it would be a great thing just to add that as a new power. But Raoul, one other thing, just to bring you back in, Raoul, is that there is, of course, a featured article status is an example of not a stable revision, but you know, it's a sort of a semi. It has the same kind of balancing effect that if it's got that label, then it has to maintain.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing in the sense that it's an identified known good revision.
And it's the result of kind of a straw poll, kind of.
Yeah.
There's also, we'll move on from there now, but I'm intrigued that we're all sort of, I think we're all open to some of the good sides about it. I know there's ideas and attitudes out there along the lines of, you know, could never happen, no one will agree to it. So I'm personally going to watch the German developments with interest, and we'll see. Raoul, would you support it like in the next sort of 6 months on English Wiki?
It depends on the form it comes out looking like. I'm reserving judgment in that sense.
Yeah.
I argued vehemently that what we should do is, see, when you go to Wikipedia, you know what you're getting. You know you're getting a wiki that, you know, may or may not be in a good state. I've argued that we should have something else like stable.wikipedia.org or stable.en.wikipedia.org that is specifically for stable versions. And that way you know from the address whether you're getting, you know, a stable version or whether you're getting the wiki.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's the spirit behind the Veripedia project, which you may... Have you heard of that one, Mark? Raoul?
Yeah, that's Danny's copied versions from Wikipedia wiki.
Yeah, and I think his idea there is to take the best and to make it stable. But they're all interesting ones, and I think there's going to be plenty of forums for discussion on this one. The foundation have done their bit anyway. They've developed the software, and it seems to be all done now and ready to go. So it's just over to the community to see where it wants.
Be very careful there. I'm not sure. Are they done developing it?
I'd say that the hurdles to... I got the strong indication that the hurdles to implementation are community decisions, not technical developments. On that front.
Well, experience in this subject shows don't hold your breath.
Well, yeah, no, I've been told it's only months away, Raoul, so we'll look for it in 2012.
Well, it was only 6 months, a single user login was only 6 months away in August of 2006.
Exactly. So we won't hold our breaths, but we wait with interest. Now, while we're talking about the foundation, Darova, you pop this onto the topics. We've got some good news.
Wonderful news, in fact, that might help with things like developer budgets and getting those improvements implemented faster. Sue Gardner announced today on the Foundation mailing list that the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation had given the Wikimedia Foundation a $3 million grant in $1 million a year over 3 years.
Which is fantastic. And you were saying...
Well, there's no bad side to that.
I wasn't familiar with the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Could you just tell us a little bit about it? Because I know you know a few things about it, Darova.
Yes, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation is a nonprofit foundation that was started in 1934 by Alfred P. Sloan, who was the chief executive officer of General Motors. And it is one of the best founded philanthropic organizations in the United States. I don't know how much it sponsors overseas or how well it's known in other countries. It tends to fund research and things in science, technology, communications to some extent, where it relates to science and technology. And its total assets are worth nearly $2 billion.
And it's given us $3 million of them for the next, well, $1 million for a year for the next 3 years.
Which certainly helps with operating costs, yes.
And, you know, we spoke in the last few chit-chats about the, you know, the allegations of impropriety and the problems that there have, you know, the allegations and certainly the problems that the foundation has faced. It is nice that there's also, you know, there's some blue sky and there's some good news.
The foundation has for a couple of years now been trying to establish themselves, you know, with financial stability more in the area of institutional grants. You know, a lot of the, you know, you hear about the small, you know, donations, and that's what's keeping the foundation going. But, you know, they're also trying to move to, you know, the area of, you know, these institutional grants. Like, you know, this is the perfect example of one.
Well, and broadly speaking, that represents, you know, coming up for a third of, it's over, that amount is a third the value of the full donations from last year in one hit. And when combined with the $2.5 million that Sue mentioned last week, you know, it's, I think the foundation is successful in that strategy. It seems to be attracting them. I have read,
Certainly
go ahead, Driver.
Oh, well, I mean, when you step back, and I mean, we tend to miss the forest for the trees here, but here is this nonprofit organization that's out to spread knowledge. It's in 250 different languages. In less than 10 years, it's gone from nowhere to being one of the 10 most visited websites in the world. It's the world's most popular reference website. It certainly ought to be getting this kind of attention, this kind of donation.